Well, welcome to Gospel Gains, where each week some time-tested tips and valuable tidbits are yours for the taking as we enter the training room for greater effectiveness in ministry. My name is Mark Fodale, and I'm privileged to pass on to you what has been taught and lived out before me during over four decades of ministry. Last week, we began our current mini-series on wisdom by looking at the need to, well, go after wisdom. Remember Solomon's urging to his sons in Proverbs 4? He wrote, "Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get, get insight." Well, as promised, today we turn to talking about wisdom's closest companion, her BFF, the one in her life who sticks closer than a brother or a sister. We are going to talk about correction. Correction? That's right, correction. Now, you may be wondering, who would ever want correction as her best friend and constant companion? Well, I'll tell you, friend, only wisdom herself. You know, many years ago, I read an article by Pastor C.J. Mahaney about this very topic. Let me tell you, his insights and conclusions have stuck with me ever since. Here's what he wrote. Years ago, during a study on Proverbs, I was surprised to discover that maturing in wisdom is often the fruit of correction. I can remember thinking, surely it's possible to learn wisdom without any need for correction and criticism? Well, apparently not. In his commentary on Proverbs, Derek Kidner writes that wisdom's frequent companion is correction. That phrase is now firmly fixed in my mind. If you ask for wisdom to hang around in your life, you will find that she doesn't prefer to travel alone. If we could mature in wisdom without any need for correction, and how I wish we could, I would have discovered a way to do it by now and probably written a best-selling book explaining how. But that's not how it works. We cannot separate growth in wisdom from criticism, correction, and reproof. Wow. What sound and challenging words from Mahaney. And friends, isn't it amazing? If you want to grow in wisdom, you have got to receive counsel. If you want to be wise, you must invite correction. Our most feared opponent is actually the most cherished friend of our greatest ally in life and ministry. We all fear correction, but it is absolutely necessary to growing in wisdom. Listen, as I read through some Proverbs that offer convincing proof that if we are to grow in understanding, we must, absolutely must, be receptive to and eagerly pursue correction. Here are some. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Proverbs 13:10, "Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." Proverbs 17:10, "A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool." In these snapshots of wisdom, we see that being eager and teachable and willing to receive correction is one of the true marks of a mature person. And not only is the ability to take advice, correction, and rebuke a distinguishing characteristic of the wise, but Solomon is clear, it also determines their future path. Friends, you know how Solomon would describe someone who says, "I don't need counsel," or who is defensive and closed to correction? He would say they are a fool whose gear shift, is always stuck in neutral. In Proverbs, Solomon tells us that both the wise and the foolish will reap consequences according to one thing: their ability to take or reject criticism. Proverbs 13:13, whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. Proverbs 15:32, those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but those who heed correction gain understanding. And finally, here's one of my favorites, Proverbs 27, verses 5 to 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Isn't that amazing? There is such a thing as friendly wounds or wounding kisses. According to Solomon, if you have a trustworthy friend and they bruise you, it's because that wound is designed and inflicted for the very good purpose of correcting you and your folly and sending you once again on the path of wisdom. Rather than being intended for our destruction, those wounding kisses of correction and rebuke are redemptive. Bottom line, a faithful friend shows his or her faithfulness by loving you enough to telling you the truth about yourself. Remember, love and correction go hand in hand as they walk alongside wisdom. You know, when someone sweet talks you and flatters you to your face and never brings up anything to disrupt the status quo of the relationship, the scripture is clear, they're not loving you. In fact, they may even be an enemy. Listen, friends, it just couldn't be more clear. We need correction. We need criticism. Every single one of us needs loving rebukes. It's a mark of true friendship, and it's the only path to greater wisdom. In his book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand, Paul Tripp puts it this way: we must remember that sin is deceitful. Sin blinds. And guess who gets blinded first? Me. I have no trouble seeing the sins of my family, but I can be astonished when mine are pointed out. Then he writes this: my self-perception is as accurate as a carnival mirror. And that's why correction is absolutely necessary for wise living. It's the mark of true friendship. Friends, we need wisdom desperately. We need correction definitely. Now, next week, we're going to talk through how to get it, what often stops us in the journey. But until then, if I could, I'd just love to leave you with the words of Charles Spurgeon, that great Baptist preacher, who once said this: get a friend to tell you your faults, or better still, welcome an enemy who will watch you keenly and sting you savagely. What a blessing such an irritating critic will be to the wise person. Amen.